Hello, welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha. Hi, Shireen.
Hi, Dan.
How are you?
Wonderful.
Good. You're always wonderful. I expect you to be. This is an interesting topic, and one near and dear to the hearts of the BKs. This one is faculties of the soul. So help start us off on this. What are we talking about, even though this term has been around since certainly Aristotle?
When we're talking about faculties, first let's talk about the body.
Yes.
The body is made up of five elements, physical elements. And then we have the organs, like the nose to see, the nose to smell, and the eyes to see, and the ears to hear, and stuff. And so we have those organs. And the soul is imperishable. Mm-hmm. It's actually just consciousness. It's metaphysical. That means it's beyond the physical.
Got it.
And the soul also has faculties or organs, but these organs of the soul are not like they have not places in the soul, because they're planes of existence, they're planes of thoughts. That's how thought patterns happen within the soul.
I see. Help elaborate. Can you do a reductionist model and break down some of the
faculties? Yeah, so there are three faculties according to the Brahma Kumaris. There are three faculties: the mind, the intellect, and the impressions.
And define each of those.
Okay,
things.
So when we talk about the mind, we are talking about something within the soul which is imperishable, which is beyond the physical. We are not talking about the brain, which is part of the body. We consider the brain to be engine of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a car, right? Without an engine, the car is not going anywhere. So without a good brain, we are not going too far in life. And so, but the soul is has these faculties, and the mind is part of that.
Is the mind part of the Supreme Soul?
The Supreme Soul has a mind, but this is the soul. Each of us have our own mind.
Got it.
So we have a faculty, like each of us have our own nose, we have our own mind, and that is a spiritual, metaphysical thing. And the mind, actually, there's a function of the mind. And the function of the mind is where thoughts arise. It's like where you get messages from the soul. What is happening within the soul comes up in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's like the monitor of the computer. So it's not exactly where everything is going on, but where you put everything and where you take out everything, you see what's going on in the computer is the monitor. So it's where it's the visual part of the soul. And then there's intellect, which is the reasoning part of the soul. That I have, and all of us have that. We have a reasoning part where we can discern what is right, what is wrong, analyze. And that's also where focus happens. That's also where concentration happens, where awareness, understanding, all of that is part of the intellect. And sanskaras are the hard drive, where you store everything. Every experience you have, everything you have is stored in your impressions, which we call sanskaras.
Okay, so we've got mind, we've got intellect, we've got impressions.
Yes.
They all work together, I'm hoping.
Yes, they all actually loop around.
Okay, they move around on us. So let's apply this to everyday living. Give me an example of how my interaction might work.
Do you want like a habit or a bad addiction? We can talk about a bad addiction. And I'm not saying this applies to you, but let's say this has happened to someone we know. Let's say they've been invited to a party. And they're 16 years old and they've been told no underage drinking by their parents. And they've been invited to a party and everyone there is having alcohol. And so the debate is going on, should I have it, shouldn't I have it? There's a lot of peer pressure, and so there's a debate of, let's say, half an hour going on, I shouldn't do this, what if I get caught, all of that. So that debate actually happens in the intellect, because that's where the reasoning part is. So you're reasoning, the discerning part. So let's say you think, oh, this month, why not? Let me just do it. And the way it tasted, the way it felt, the way you felt, the way whatever happened afterwards, everything is recorded in the impressions. People say that it's recorded in the brain. It's recorded in the brain, but it's also recorded in the impressions. And the reason why I say this is that's why people, when you leave this body and go on to the next one, you take your impressions with you and go. So that's why you're able to hypnotically regress yourself and say this happened in that life and that happened in, you know, one life or whatever, because things are coming up from your impressions. So let's say this alcohol bit, you're recording in your impressions. And so the function of the mind is the next time you see a bottle, and let's say you had a favorable impression, so next time you see alcohol, the way it tasted, the way it felt, everything comes up on the mind.
So let's say you had a bad impression and you got sick.
That also comes
up. It's stored in the mind.
It's stored in the impressions, and the next time you see alcohol or whatever, that impression comes up on the mind. So let's talk about favorable impressions for alcohol, right? And so it's coming up on the mind. So 6 months later, you've been invited to a party again, and this time the debate, because it's a favorable impression, you didn't like the particularly care for the taste, but you really like the way you felt about it. So this time the debate will go on, let's say, for 15 minutes. Because you really liked the way you felt afterwards. And so you take in, let's say you do alcohol again, and then you create a stronger impression. So 6 months later, you've been invited to a party again, and this time the debate will be, let's say, for 5 minutes, because you're creating stronger and stronger impressions.
I'm a much faster learner than that.
And so there will come a time where you don't need to look at alcohol to want alcohol, because your impressions are so strong that they go up on the mind. So the loop actually happens. Instead of it going from the thought, going from the mind to the intellect to the impressions, to the mind to the intellect to the impressions, the loop just goes from mind to impressions, mind to impressions. And that is what is a habit.
What about something like benevolence?
That's also the same thing.
Same
I'm using alcohol as a very simple example, but any thought pattern is the same loop. Guess what percentage of our lives we live in that loop of just mind to impressions, mind to impressions?
That would be like a child, I would think.
Everyone, even adults, like 80% of our lives, we just live in that habit loop.
Hmm.
And habits that are really not good for us, not good for society, are addictions, but really everything. For example, the way I brush my teeth is also a habit, but it's
right.
a good habit. You don't want to have to think about how you brush your
Got
teeth
it.
Every morning. But so there's some habits. So a lot of the time we live in that loop.
Got it. So within that, for people that are not following or half listening to us, as we brush our teeth, because it is just the impression and the mind hitting on it, we typically put the pretty much the same amount of toothpaste on the brush, and we take the brush and we put the brush on the same approximate tooth every single time.
Exactly.
We never switch hands, or almost never switch hands unless something's wrong, and try the other direction. That would feel strange.
Right.
But that doesn't take any real thought or discernment.
Yes, yes. And which is fine, because some habits are just necessary habits. But habits that are really bad for you, that habits that really give you, you know, like a unhappiness, a sorrow, all of those habits, it could be a thought pattern.
Yeah.
A habit that has become a thought pattern also could give you, like, feeling unworthy. You know, it's a thought pattern that you're feeling unworthy. Also, is a habit, and that's the loop. And so part of the meditation practice is to bring the intellect back into the loop, because for the soul to be healthy, I have to have all of three of them working very well.
I see. So is the observer self part of the intellect? Or was
the soul. When we are talking about the soul actually has this, like when I'm talking about the body has the five organs, like the eyes and the nose and stuff, and in the same way the soul has these, but the soul can be as separate from these. And so you could talk of yourself as the soul watching these. You can have as a soul having a conversation with these things and keeping them in track and making sure that everything is fine. Because impressions really are the key to life. Because we have good impressions and we have negative impressions.
Right.
But the impressions can only change when my mind and my intellect work in harmony. That both of them are really working together, then my impressions change.
I'm also thinking of practicing mindfulness as important to this process.
Yes.
Because if if I have bowls of M&Ms all over the house, and I unconsciously, leaving out really discernment, pop a few in my mouth each time, feels good. Again, pretty soon I've consumed 5 bags of M&Ms. And
a lot of M&Ms.
Well, I'm making this up. I can't have them in my house. But the point is, I'm doing it mindlessly, and I'm not even enjoying it. How most of us eat our food.
Yeah.
Without having a mindful piece to it. So does that mean that even our eating can be a soul experience?
Yes, yes. Enjoyment? You can eat in the remembrance of who you are, mm-hmm. in mindfulness of who you are. And also with that conversation going on with yourself. You know, now the mind is looking at it. Now I'm discerning I'm going to eat it. You know, that conversation can go on.
So it seems to me that we should be able to use this natural habit-making facility to be to our advantage. For example,
exactly.
Up at 4 as you do to
yes.
meditate.
Exactly, we should. But you know, for the habit to change, the mind and the intellect have to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so for my impressions to become good impressions, because impressions really make up life. You know, I have impressions of love and I have impressions of hatred.
Mm-hmm.
But if my impressions of love are playing on the field of the mind, then I'm happy. If my impressions of hatred are playing on the field of the mind, then I'm
right.
not very happy. Whatever it is, even if I'm justified in hating someone, I'm not happy. That's
right.
the bottom line. And yeah. so I have to make sure that I'm using my intellect and I'm using my mind to change that. That to have such powerful experiences of who I originally am, of my original nature, my true self, that I should use mind and intellect so much that I have these powerful experiences that all the negative experiences I've had in my life just go away. Because they go to the they get submerged,
mm-hmm.
and whatever is the most powerful experience will keep coming up.
So if you have the habit of leaning toward positivity, of taking time to be introspective and meditative, of being mindful, it feels like you're probably doing the whole loop pretty well.
Yeah.
Then.
Yes.
But if we're only reacting or only sitting in front of a television set letting our minds take whatever it is, then we're not discerning in that moment.
Right.
And we're falling into the trap of just looping through.
Right. You know, in another topic we'll talk about parenting the mind, but
mm-hmm.
one of the most useful things here is we have to keep our mind occupied in positive things, like you're saying. Otherwise, really, even if you're justified, right?
Yeah.
Even if someone came and, you know, beat me up and I'm justified in thinking negative things about that person, it still is not useful because my mind is dwelling on negative things, and so I will be experiencing those, not just that negativity of that
right.
situation. We live by association, negativity of all the situations that have happened in our lives, and everything, all of it starts coming up.
Right, right. And anger brings up more anger about
yes.
other things. The role of forgiveness is really releasing as opposed to pushing aside anger, or I shouldn't.
Yes, it's. I'm glad you asked this question. The role of forgiveness, whether it's myself or someone else,
mm-hmm.
is actually the most important thing is about forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
But even to forget, I need something else to replace it. We don't just forget things.
Right. It's very much like getting rid of bad habits. You just replace habits of
yeah,
sorts.
Yeah, right. So that's why I'm saying to fill the mind with the right thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
To fill the mind with eternal truths. And I feel that really works. You know,
yeah.
pick something that really bothers you.
Mm-hmm.
And then really pick an eternal truth. And just every time that bothers you, just think about this eternal truth and you will replace that habit.
Uh-huh.
Or any habit.
Wow. For 15 minutes, we've covered a lot of material. I hope this helps you understand this interaction. It certainly has helped me. I've learned something from you, Shireen. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Goodbye.